Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Everyone, welcome to Everything Action Cast for the week of February 13th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us this week, we have Chris.
Karate not here, but here.
Thank you, Mr. Miyagi. And Joe.
Understand?
Man, I can't remember any lines from the next Karate Kid, or else I'd hit you with some Hillary Swank, bitch.
What about from the new one?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Check it on, check it off, check it on, check it off.
Yeah, no, no thank you, Jackie. I'll remember you for the good times. I'm not gonna watch you crawl into hell.
Mm-hmm. The downward slide of Jackie Chan at the end. Like...
I'm not gonna watch my one-time Asian hero limp into obscurity.
Probably started with the tuxedo, maybe. It was like the downward spiral.
In my perfect alternate reality, Jackie Chan hasn't been seen since Rush Hour 3. And he's believed to be wandering the mountains in Tibet.
Like
looking for a Dragon Ball or something. I have no idea.
So she, like, joined Tony Jaa and, like, some spiritual...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're doing some sort of council.
Becoming monks? I don't know.
I don't know.
Communing with the dragon spirits or something?
He's doing something that prevented him from being in, like, the last three movies he's been in.
Yeah. Forbidden Kingdom wasn't that bad, but...
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was
like comeback.
The last two movies he's been in.
Anyway, try to start the show instead of going off on Jack Chan tangents, but so we got a bunch of news as usual. We got the awesome Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter show we'll talk about a little bit later. But we're gonna kick it off like we usually do with show and tell. So Chris, what have you been watching over the last week?
I guess I was watching Sanctum, but
it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because that movie was just like it was so awkward. It just because, like, I didn't pay attention, I guess.
The movie was out for, like, 3 weeks, maybe, I think, or, like, 2 weeks. And no one saw it.
It was hopping on the backs of, like, Avatar. Because I remember it was like, this movie, you saw James Cameron Avatar, now watch his other pet project.
I don't even think it was a pet project. It was just like, he's probably, yeah, you can slap my name on that.
Or whatever he did, it's just like, I used the cameras left over from Avatar to throw them in the water, see what would happen, and I made Sanctum.
Yeah.
It's a movie that was, like, fully shot in 3D, and I can see why. It's, like, it's supposed to show you these, like, beautiful caves and, like, weird, like, places that you just be like, I don't want to go dive there. I don't know, it's like, the movie is definitely made for a diving enthusiast. The last time that was ever made was Into the Blue.
Wait, I thought it's a cave. It's a spelunky movie, right? Not like diving.
Well, yeah, but to get to the cave, you gotta dive into like this pit.
Oh, okay. You gotta swim into it.
Yeah, you gotta it's not like, oh, I'm just gonna go in the water and then just get out. No, you have to like
got rappelling into the mouth of the cave.
No, you have to put on like all these air tanks and helmets and go into the cave. And it's like the only way in is through a cave opening, like at least.
Yeah, cave opening.
30 feet into the water.
Mm.
So it's not like a simple, I'm going to go in this cave. Like, it's a track.
I'm going to go in this cave.
Natural dialogue. I'm going to go in this cave.
That's the whole, like, reason for going. The expedition is like, yo, you guys want to go in this cave?
Fuck yeah, I do.
And, I mean, it's a good concept. It's just everything else goes to shit because they throw in this, like, unnecessary amount of drama. First, these, like, four divers are there, like, two of them are experts, and then the rest are just, like, tourists. And then, it rains in the area of Papua New Guinea, and then, like, there's a mudslide, people start panicking, there's not enough supplies to last, like, a day or two.
Isn't, like, the cave gonna flood if it, like, rains too much?
Well, yeah, the water pressure rises like any cave would do, but like then it's like the rich guy played by what's his face? The guy who played Reed Richards.
Like Eoin Gruffudd or something.
A guy looks like Lone, but it's way British. It's like, yeah, Eoin. The guy's first name literally is Lone.
Ioan.
That's an I?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, so Eoin, he goes kind of berserk because he's like, I need to live. So he kills like, he starts to like sabotage everyone. Yeah.
He pulls like,
and eventually,
he pulls Bill Paxton from Vertical Limit.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's always the rich people who like can't figure out how the world works. So
I'm rich. I should live.
Yeah. So he attacks the like veteran cave explorer, played by Richard Roxburgh. He's like the generic English / Australian actor in any past like 5 years.
Yeah.
He was Dracula in Van Helsing. He was in MI2 as like.
Yeah, was he the sidekick? Like,
yeah, the side villain. And
I get a very Paul Hogan vibe from him.
He definitely is like a Paul Hogan character, especially in I remember there's another Paul Hogan where he plays like a sea captain and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, it's like instead of listening to him, the rich guy named Carl, he just like loses his mind and escapes and runs away and tries to steal supplies. And they're like, they're chasing after him to like make sure he doesn't like kill himself or something. But eventually he does fight, you know, the expert, and he dies. And it's weird because, and then you realize the story is about like father and son bonding than it is about survival. I don't know. It was weird because you think it's about with these two characters, this father and son team, like that they're kind of estranged and they just have to spend time together to know each other more. And then this incident happens, and instead of bringing them together, it's like they have to fight an insane rich man.
Typical father son bonding activity.
Mm. Yeah, I mean from what I learned in different movies, in Abduction, father-son bonding is like boxing each other in the face. And then in Sanctum, it's like trying to survive while like Reed Richards is dwelling in a cave.
Caves make you a better person, apparently. You know, like Descent, you like, become stronger and more independent. And then like this one, you get closer to your father.
And Batman, you conquer your fears.
Yep.
Caves are a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not disclosing that. But
unless you get like trapped in like a tunnel and die. But
right, I mean, I can see how seeing this theaters is like, it's nice. It's like an IMAX movie that has a plot and it keeps on going.
It's basically what it is. Yeah.
It's what it is. That's pretty much a sum it up. And then just the end are like, I was really sad. Cause it's like, why is this happening? I thought this was a movie about a beautiful cave. And now it's like, I'd never want to go there. Cause you just end up being like unprepared for like nature and humanity. I didn't expect that. Like, I thought it would be this movie about cave exploring. I didn't know it would be like, anytime I'm going, it's like, fuck. I don't trust, like, rich people now. Damn one percenters. What else? That's about it. I caught up on 30 Rock, so I watched, like, the Valentine's Day episode where Liz Lemon and her current boyfriend go to IKEA, and it's like they test their relationships by seeing how well they can survive IKEA.
God. Yeah, that's a real thing.
Eating meatballs.
Yeah, it's like it's funny because the IKEA culture. Have you ever been to IKEA? It's definitely like a testing zone for relationships to see how well they'll last in the future. So they make fun of that. Good episode.
All right. So, Joe, what are you watching?
Really, the only thing worth talking about would be Contagion.
Yeah,
not great.
Oh, what? The movie was like
not great.
What? That's the best movies last year.
Yeah, until it just stopped.
Oh, fight you,
dude! That movie just stopped being a movie. They're like, well, that'll do. Like, that was it, man.
Well, they solved the problem, so.
The way I would describe it is that it's the best not zombie movie that deals with disease.
Yeah, I definitely see that vibe.
I was like, it's gonna happen. You just wait. The dead will start to walk the earth. And no, it never happened.
I would have loved it at the end. You see, like, Gwyneth Paltrow again. She's like, "Brains."
Yeah, she just sets up. She's like, "Dick." Like, I don't know, man. I sort of started the movie being happy that she was dead.
Yeah,
I was happy she died in the trailer.
If you hate Gwyneth Paltrow, this is like the perfect movie for you.
No, not even that. She like cheated on her husband. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't really. My heart's not in it. It's like,
yep.
I can't really feel too bad for you right now. I can't do nothing for you, son.
But I loved how tense, like how tense it was, and like I loved like the all like the crazy like zoom ins of just like how like this is like everything's infected now with like just door handles now they like zoom
door handle glass
like,
yeah
they zoom in, like this guy using credit cards like zoom in on the cash register it's like yep
young now. Child
yep
yeah that was a little much
and definitely some of the other like some of the plots did not work at all like the. Like Marion Cotillard's like crazy kidnapping adventure in China, whatever
oh,
she was.
God, I know
that was so stupid.
Kate Winslet just being like a huge bitch to everyone and then dying. Not great. It was a cool movie, but I was like, I thought I was gonna like this a lot more than I did.
See, it's really hard to top a movie like that when Outbreak already exists.
Hmm.
Well,
I mean, that movie had a monkey.
Outbreak's just like insane, like how it's insanity. Like just like it ramps up to like where they're like facing down a stealth bomber in a fucking helicopter.
True.
Like Contagion is like what would actually probably happen if a horrible disease started coming.
Well, it's more based on our fear of like the chicken flu. Remember that?
Yeah.
The bird flu thing, and then
this is pig bat flu.
And plus, like
this is man bear pig flu.
Yeah.
We started fearing like Canadians who like didn't wash their hands and like would
well,
just touch.
I'm afraid everything. Of Canadians to begin with. But.
Contagion is just like you should be afraid of like Hong Kong chefs apparently.
Oh, yeah, that motherfucker started the whole thing. Really, honestly, and I'm being totally serious here. I was fine with it until the end, where they had that little poor excuse for like a wrap up where it's like, look. This is how it started.
Mm-hmm.
This is day one. This is what's wrong with the current state of farming in America.
Yeah,
and you know what? If everybody eats organic and opens up a farm and starts going to food co-ops, this won't happen. I was
that was definitely
man.
A little like, heavy-handed of like, we're destroying the environment!
I know.
It's like
it's literally what it was.
It's like zooming in like bulldozer, it's just like, whatever company, like some random big company that like
Globocom.
Yeah.
Honestly, all I would have needed would have been to see like Matt Damon drop to his knees and be like, "Damn you, damn you all to hell,
germs!" Just like punching things. Adam West, Ocean style. Take that, germs.
Germs killed my father and raped my mother.
So I became germs.
So that's a joke.
So not great. Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically my activity.
Okay. So I've been watching a lot of TV because like it's still mid season, so there's like a lot of shows premiering or ending.
Hell yeah.
Either you guys saw the series finale of Tide Margaret?
IFC billed that as the season finale.
It is. It's the series finale, definitely.
The season finale.
Well, David Cross says there's only two seasons ever. That's it.
Listen, right, we can change
David,
his mind.
David
he made
Cross
a sequel.
Also needs money.
I think
so.
Yeah. I think the end of the series, like the quote unquote season finale, is pretty definitive. That
Perfect.
It's the end of the series.
That was a fucking. Whether it's the end or not, whatever. That was fucking awesome.
Oh, you did see it, Joe?
I did see that, yeah.
It was just like the perfect, just like bizarre and dark ending.
Like, I kind of want to get Will Arnett's rant in the courtroom to the jurors, like as to be set as my voicemail greeting. but no one will ever leave me a message ever again.
Yeah.
But that might be okay.
Just like every, it's like every horrible American stereotype about British people.
Yeah.
And like his crazy like wig and hotel bathrobe. <It's> like, yeah. He tried like that, like he tried to figure out like what the, try to like make like a British like barrister outfit.
Yeah, that was incredible. Mm-hmm.
And then like Todd trying to like do improv in the middle of the court, like by time.
Also incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, the last 5 minutes were just like so insane.
Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing, man. I was just like, what? Like, who okayed any of this?
I know.
I love it.
I also love, like, the reason why Dave was, like, just did all this. It's, like, most petty and, like, stupid thing ever.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
So, yeah, that was great. Definitely, like, I'm sure, like, the entire series is going to be on Netflix in, like, a week or two, so, or, like, a month at least. So, you definitely check it out when it goes on Netflix.
Yeah, man, I hope so.
Yeah, it took them 2 years to put on from IFC to Netflix, so I really hope that they change that.
Netflix needs to do that, and they also need to get Workaholics Season 2.
Yeah.
Like, right meow.
Or, like, Futurama last season, because I have missed a couple of those.
Yeah, basically anything that I want to see, they need.
Yeah.
So
you know. Fucking do it, Netflix.
Bunch of bitches.
Also caught the series premiere of The River, the new show from Oren Peli, director of the first Paranormal Activity. And you can definitely tell it's a paranormal, like, from the guy who made Paranormal Activity, because there's, like, so many just, like, Paranormal Activity, like, shots in it and stuff. Besides the fact that it's also found footage.
Oh, yeah.
But just like...
What gave it away?
But just, like... Like, every, like, the first episode was just, like, so many people just, like, getting, like, slammed by, like, invisible forces.
Ooh.
But, I mean, the concept's kind of cool. It's, this, Bruce Greenwood is this, like, basically, like, crocodile hunter, Jacques Cousteau, sort of, like, nature television star.
Crikey.
That has, like, I forget, like, what the name of his, like, show is. It's, like, The Undiscovered Magic, like Nature's Magic or something, or some Undiscovered Magic or something.
Sounds kind of gay.
But it's been on the air for like 22 years, and like all of a sudden he vanishes during one of his expeditions. So like 6 months later, his wife and son head to the Amazon because like his emergency beacon gets activated. And they have like a documentary crew with them that like, this documentary crew is like, they're agreeing to fund the expedition but on the grounds that they can like film everything for a reality show.
Naturally.
So yeah, so it's all these guys. So it's Leslie Hope is the wife and mom, and she was Terry Bauer from 24 season 1.
Oh, she has a job again.
Yeah. And it's also got another 24 alum, Paul Blackthorne, who was in season 3. He was also Harry Dresden from Dresden Files. He was in a bunch of other stuff. He's usually like a like sleazy British guy. He's basically that in this show. He's like the sleazy producer of this reality show.
Sweet.
And Tom Kretschmann, who was the captain in King Kong. He was also the dad from Wanted.
Oh man, that guy is. He's actually a good actor, but
yeah.
You don't see him act much.
He's like the super stern badass mercenary guy. He's like along.
Everyone needs
one. He's like along for security. He has like a briefcase full of guns on in his bed and stuff. But yeah, so like they're on this expedition on the Amazon, and they file the beacon to like this. It's like this weird like finger of the like or like this weird like tributary of the Amazon. People call it like the, I forget what they call it, but it's like some like cursed area of the Amazon or something that no one goes in. So of course they have to like go up it and find the boat, like the guy's boat.
Mm.
And like conveniently the boat has like just like it's like covered in cameras, so you get like all the crazy angles and stuff. So that's like where most of the fun footage comes from. And then like weird creepy stuff starts happening. Like there's like a weird like shadow force that like kills one of the cameramen. And then like second episode they find like a weird tree in the jungle that has, like, baby dolls covering it. And it's, like, this weird, like, ghost of this little girl who drowned in the river. And then, like, they bring, like, dolls to, like, appease her and stuff. And then, like, they take one of the dolls and the girl starts, like, dragging people into the water. And, like, the dolls, like, her eyes and, like, the heads move and stuff. And, like, one, like, looks right at the camera and, like, one blinks and stuff. So it's, like, creepy dolls.
Oh,
that's,
boy.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish it wasn't a found footage style to watch all that. Like, the concept is creepy. I don't need it to be, like, watching it through security footage.
Well, it's like a mix of, like, security footage and, like, footage from the cameramen and stuff. And it's really weird, too, because, like, you're watching it, but it's, like, already edited as, like, a reality show. It'd be, like, watching, like, X-Men or something, or one of those, like, Discovery Channel shows. Because, like, the swear words are bleeped out, and, like, they, like, have, like, people's names and stuff, like, superimposed on the screen and stuff.
Wow. Powerful.
But I like the first episode, so I'll probably keep watching it. It's only going to be, like, 8 episodes for this first season.
That's what I said about American Horror Story.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. I only watched the first episode, and that was it. Never watched the rest of it.
You did yourself a favor.
That's what I heard. And then the last TV show is the much-hyped Full Metal Jousting debuted on History Channel.
Wow.
Either you guys watch that?
No.
I see the banner for it all the time. How is that?
Oh, God. It's basically like fucking The Ultimate Fighter, but with jousters.
Are they like bros too?
There's a couple, like at least 3 or 4 of them are like medieval times jousters. And they're like, yo, I gotta prove that my skills are real. My theatrical jousting skills are real. I'm gonna be the world's greatest jouster. It is so stupid, but it's also kind of entertaining just because how stupid it is. It's like every week, like 2 of them have to like get into a joust, and then one of them's eliminated. And like whatever team wins the joust controls like the next match, Ultimate Fighter style.
Oh boy!
And they have like, I think he's like the world's champion of jousting or something. It's like the host, and he's like super intense and like takes jousting way too seriously.
Well, jousting is a serious thing, Zach.
Apparently, like it's just like. The first, like, 10 minutes of the show is just him going, like, jousting is a serious sport. Like, you could break bones. You're getting, like, hit with the power of, like, a semi-truck when you get hit by the spear. It's just, like, he just keeps going on, like, how dangerous and, like, insane jousting is.
You know, because it's a
real sport.
Because, you know, it's not a natural thing to be poked by a giant stick.
Yeah. And they have, like, these, like, scoring system they use, and it's just, like, you have to, like, hit, like, this, like, little... shoulder shield the guys wear on their armor. And you get points for, like, hitting it, and then, like, also, like, if you break your spear, it's, like, 5 points, and if you, like, knock the guy off the horse, it's 10 points.
I would watch jousting at medieval times, but I wouldn't watch a TV show about it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's, like, real jousting is, like, it's not, like... You're not gonna see like people falling off their horse every time, like if like medieval times or something, where like, they make it,
or like a Knight's Tale.
Yes, it's not. It's definitely not a Knight's Tale where like everything is exploding and like in showers of splinters.
And there's like weird renditions of Queen songs.
No Queen playing. No. And it's kind of weird too because it's like. Ultimate Fighter and, like, all those other shows, like, all these people are, like, they're, like, actually skilled in what they do. Like, these guys are, like, one guy's like, yo, I ride horses, so I figured I could joust. Or, like...
Oh, boy.
And, like, one guy's like, yo, I'm a Marine, and I figured, like, physical sports are something I'm good at, so I figured I'd do jousting because it seemed cool.
Oh, no.
So it's, like it's not even, like... Like, the first match was, like, really stupid. Like, it was, like, 3-1 or something was the score. So it's just, like, really lame. So, I mean, hopefully they get better as the show goes on. But, like, yeah. It's definitely...
Well.
It's definitely not, like, it did not live up to the hype.
No.
And then, as far as...
It was doomed to fail. It was just too exciting.
like his channel was like putting way too much like hype into it, and they're like trying to make the abbreviation like FMJ. People would be saying that in the streets.
I'm gonna get an FMJ tattoo.
Yeah.
Right over my heart.
Like the helmet.
Oh yeah.
They're basically like motorcycle helmets. With like a weird like front visor on it.
Yeah, someone needs to tell those people that they aren't badasses.
Well, the one guy from the first show, it seems like he's gonna be like the asshole of the show. It's like this like guy who like works at Medieval Times.
I imagine. I'd rather go see Medieval Times. At least you could drink and like yell at these people in public.
That guy's like, yo,
not
like,
with the prices of Medieval Times.
Yeah.
Prices are not, I imagine they were cheaper back when we were kids, but now they're like fucking economy and inflation.
Like, yo, Chris, that's not real.
Fucking Obama.
That's theatrical. Chris, that's theatrical jousting, though. It's not real shit. It's not real jousting.
Yeah, but I can throw a chicken at these people if I'm drunk enough.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
Throw my potato skin at them.
Take
that was my
this,
problem.
Feed?
When I went, I didn't pregame.
Drink like a,
looking back on it, I totally should have.
Drink like a $10, like, dragon's blood.
Oh, God, no.
It's like,
no,
like,
I had just, like a little chicken thigh, though. It was like, behold, sir, your feast. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
Half a baby dragon.
This is Campbell's tomato soup.
If I could afford the lawsuit, I would bring my own night gear and just like charge the stage as a third unannounced challenger or
like,
something.
Like the cable guy.
It's the Yellow Knight. Oh my God. He brings deadly war secrets from the Orient.
I've come to trade silk and for blood.
Just throw down like a smoke bomb and like take out a katana. Like, oh,
it's Genghis Khan.
What wizardry is this? He descends upon us from the mountains.
I wonder if they've invaded.
I wonder if they do have a contingency plan just in case someone does things like this. Or the whole show has to shit.
Magic is this?
One of the insane inmates have escaped from the dungeon.
He's got a boomstick.
Flee, audience, flee!
Like, the knights have to, like, drag him off. It's like, don't worry, brave nobles, our knights shall carry this fiend to the dungeon. Where the constable would be called.
Yeah, I bet you that jousting show doesn't have things like that. Is it even like a little sidebar of people heckling these jousters like from a farm or something? Like,
no, it's just like they have like this like it's like state like field set up, and like it's just like the other team, the team's watching a bleacher, and like they have like judges and shit.
See, like it, you know, like it's not like, you know, a public park where like you're just jousting. People are just like, you know, randomly watching. This is just like inland in a farm or something,
like,
so no one can watch.
Secluded,
the
shame.
Yeah, it's secluded, so no one could just drive by and be like, freaks, and
yeah,
drive.
So yeah, so that's it for TV. Besides all the usual stuff, actually none of us watched The Walking Dead. I take it then.
Oh no, I did actually. Oh, wow, I totally forgot about that.
No spoilers, I haven't seen it yet, but just general,
no spoilers. It was what you thought it would be. Pretty damn good.
It's back.
Yeah, no, it's back.
I'm assuming it's just like sort of like a take a breather episode after like what went down during the mid-season finale.
Yes and no. Yes, in that it takes a breather after the first like 2 minutes, but it basically, and this really isn't a spoiler, but it literally picks up right where the last. Where the first half of the season left off.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, fade in, dead bodies, everyone's looking at Shane like, what the fuck, dude? And that's basically it.
Shane just, like, shrugs. Like, yeah.
Literally no time has passed.
Yeah.
It's like if they ended a season of South Park with Kenny dying and then picked it up at the next season with Kyle saying, or Stan saying, oh my God, they killed Kenny. To which Kyle chimes in, you bastards.
Yeah.
You know.
And, let's see.
Good shit, though. Mm-hmm. Zombies and... I wanted to say titties, but there are no titties.
I heard, like...
Zombies, guns, rednecks. What happened?
I heard, like, it broke its own record for, like, viewers.
Oh, good for them.
And
I can't speak to that. Much, I don't know.
The game, she's just like, yep, third season, definitely.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
We'll schedule it for, like, 10 seasons, probably. And as far as movies go, from last week, I finally watched Bridesmaids.
And that's the podcast for this week.
Hey, that's a good movie, right?
Whoa. I think it's super overrated, but it's still pretty funny.
I figure for your run-of-the-mill female comedy, it's got, like, there are enough jokes to keep anyone interested for at least half of it.
Yeah. Like, Kristen Wiig is amazing in it. So she, like, she just has, like, all these, like, one-on-one, just, like, really awkward conversations with people. They get, like, really bizarre.
Well, that's what I imagine. It's, like, each person in the party is, like, kooky. But they're all, see, the thing is, they're competing against The Hangover in the sense of, like, you know, man time and girl time and, you know, like, because I know, like, they're each trying to find themselves in the movie and trying to be happy and blah, 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 like, yeah, a generic story, but then, like,
blah, 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 blah,
blah. Oh, yeah, the whole thing about Bridesmaid was, like, it was competing against Hangover for, like, we could be a raunchy comedy, too, starring women.
Mm-hmm.
So, I at least give it credit for trying.
I mean, there is, like, the one, like, super disgusting part where, like, they're at, the dress shop and, like, the food poisoning from the Brazilian restaurant.
Dude, those are just girl farts, man. Those things are nasty to begin with. They've got different tubing than we do.
Yeah. Say, probably the best part is, like, when they're, it's, like, this whole, like, 10-15-minute sequence where, like, they're, like, on the plane to, like, Las Vegas. And Kristen Wiig, like, hates flying, so she, like, Rose Byrne gives her, like, this, like, tranquilizer medicine, and she also, like, drinks, like, a whole scotch in, like, one gulp. So she's, like, just, like, walking around the plane completely drunk.
Yeah, it's like me in the casino, Chris.
Oh, my God.
And, like, she bought a ticket for coach, so she's, like, constantly trying to, like, sneak into first class, because that's where everyone else is.
Nice.
Well, it makes sense if you've ever been in a situation where you're separated from your pack.
Yeah. And we're heard, like, getting tasered by the undercover air marshal.
But I feel like this is all these scenes in the movie are taken from other comedies from the past, and they're just like, we can make this different.
With ladies.
Yeah, with ladies instead of usually, like, that scene reminds me of what you described, reminds me of the beginning of Due Date.
Yeah, Due Date, yeah.
So, like, that was just one scene, and mm-hmm. made by the same guy who made The Hangover. Imagine the other brides. I mean, it's true. Like, the thing is, I haven't seen a lot of bridesmaid comedies.
No.
I mean, I've seen, there's a crap load of Bachelor movies.
Or, like, wedding movies.
Wedding movies, yeah.
There's another awesome scene is, like, when Kristen Wiig finally, like, freaks out and, like, at, like, the bridal shower, and just, like, this, because, like, the entire movie, like, Rose Byrne is, like, this, like, she's, like, the super rich wife, like, Maya Rudolph. Like, actually, recently, it's, like, Maya Rudolph's marrying Eric from Tim and Eric.
Yeah, I can't believe that guy actually has, like, a job outside.
Like, he has no lines. He just stands there in the background.
Really? I thought he would give him some lines.
No, he just stands there, kind of, like, smiles and, like, nods at random points.
And then he just screams, and then things come out of his mouth.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, his boss, like, he's friends with his boss, who is Rose Byrne's husband, and they're, like, super rich, and she's, like, constantly, like, planning, like, these, like, super elaborate parties, like, giving Maya Rudolph, like, these, like, really expensive gifts, and, like, Kristen Wiig just, like, freaks out, like, because, like, she gives, Rose Byrne gives Maya Rudolph, like, tickets to Paris, and, like, fly to Paris together, like, get Maya Rudolph's wedding dress and everything. Kristen Wiig is like, are you fucking kidding me? Just, like, freaks out and destroys the entire party. It's just like, look at this stupid cookie. No one's gonna eat this fucking cookie. It just destroyed the cookie, and, like, she, like, there's, like, a chocolate fountain. She's like, the stupid unsanitary fucking fountain. Just, like, throws chocolate everywhere. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't really trust those chocolate fountains either.
It's like an actual fountain. Like, not, it's like a, it's like a bird bath fountain that, like, they put chocolate in.
It sounds like Golden Corral.
Yeah,
a spewing thing of recycled chocolate.
It's like a giant stone fountain that's, like, chocolate syrup coming out of it.
Oh, man.
I'd say, like, like a big like negative is like, you know how there's like the like in all like the buddy comedies, really like the part where like they get mad at each other and they like they stop being friends.
Yeah.
And it's like there's like a montage of like them like sorting through like feelings and like realizing they need to like get back together with a friend. Like usually that's like 5-10 minutes in like any other movie. It's like 20 minutes to a half an hour in Bridesmaids. It's like, all right, we get it. Kristen Wiig's life is horrible. Which is, it just drags on and on. It's like this movie's like two, like it could have been like an hour and a half, but it's like 2 hours long just because like the half hour like finding yourself montage, rebuilding your life montage or like a sequence.
Maybe I gotta change my attitude. Maybe I should get my hair done.
Yeah.
That's a checker.
Well, the big thing is like she's awesome at baking, but her bakery failed. She's like depressed, super depressed, and like she works at like a jewelry store now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you should start baking again.
Yeah.
And she does. So still a really funny movie, just like not. I was definitely not the funniest movie of the last year, and definitely not up to the hype. Everyone's like, this is the second coming of comedy Jesus. But no, it's solid comedy. But and other movie I watched that was also extremely solid, but not really doing anything original was Safe House.
Oh no.
Which is, yeah, it is a super solid, like, Bourne-style CIA action movie that is not doing anything original at all. You can basically, like, as soon as you see, like, certain characters, you can basically predict what's going to happen to them or, like, what they're going to do. But Denzel is awesome as always, and, like, he's, like, in full-on badass mode as Tobin Frost.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The CIA's most wanted criminal. Who's actually a former CIA agent who's like, he comes into possession of this information that could like damage a lot of corrupt people. So people want him dead now. So that's why he gets like, at the beginning of the movie, he gets chased by like these like assailants and like his choice is like to like escape them. He turns himself into the US embassy. So that's why he gets taken to the safe house.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets attacked and then like he and Ryan Reynolds have to like go on the run to escape. But, I don't know, just, like, all the action's pretty solid throughout. And they actually do, like, this weird, like, they actually, like, chain action sequences together, which I don't think I've really seen before or, like, recently. Where, like, it goes from, like, the shootout in the safe house to, like, a car chase to, like, right to, like, a close quarters inside the car fight. And, like, one long sequence to, like, in, like, smaller separate sequences, which I thought was pretty cool. And Ryan Reynolds is in a complete tool bag, which is also a plus. Unlike last year.
Whoa. Green Lantern Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
Wow. Not a tool bag, you say?
Not a complete tool bag.
And it wasn't Dean Cook?
No.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, especially last year. Like, the year Ryan Reynolds had last year was, like, Green Lantern and The Change-Up and I think another movie maybe, but where he was just, like, a complete and utter douchebag in every movie.
Yeah.
You feel his like problem in the movie. Like he's like the lowest of the lowest level CIA agent. He's just like trapped. He's like babysitting the safe house like 24/7. It's like so like nothing ever happens. He's like in like the safe house like listening to his iPod like throwing a tennis ball against the wall all day until they bring in Tobin Frost and like all the shit happens. And then you also got like you have like Brendan Gleeson and Vera Farmiga and Sam Shepard as like the CIA like higher ups that have like it's like if you've seen like Bourne or like any other movies it's like they like constantly flash back to like the CIA and like the CIA like war room and the people are like all the analysts are there and it's just like give me the satellite uplink to where they are tracking enhance that image. And they also do like
satellite tracking.
Yeah, like they also do like it's just like basically the exposition factory at the CIA, where like one scene is like they like do the complete history of Tobin Frost, and like next scene is like then they do like the complete history of Ryan Reynolds' character. It's like here's his he was born here. Here's his parents. This is how he got into the CIA. This is his girlfriend's name. This is what she does.
Good lord.
But yeah, I mean, you can. But the plot is you can basically like you can you know exactly where it's going if you've seen like any of these movies. So. Like, you're going to know, like, who the bad guy is and, like, what the big twist did. Well, it's not even, like, a real big twist. It's just, like...
It's like M. Night Shyamalan after Signs twists.
No, it's not even a twist. It's just, like, standard action movie, like, plot developments. Oh, and also, Robert Patrick's in it for, like, 5 minutes. He's awesome in it.
Oh, that's cool.
But, like, yeah, literally 5 minutes he's in the movie.
Which movie?
Safe House.
Oh, Robert Patrick's in that movie?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Jesus.
God, Chris.
Where you been? So, I don't know, I'd say maybe it's like a worth like a matinee or like definitely like a rent when it comes out. You need to rush out to go see Safe House, but it's a solid movie.
It's a Saw movie?
Solid movie. So, that's it for what I've been watching. So, I'm going to get to the news for this past week. And we had one big trailer to talk about, which is the trailer for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked pretty awesome.
Mm.
What do you think, Chris?
It's everything I dreamed America was based on. It looks very action-y. I know there's a really good story because the novel was good. You know, like the novel was well written, and it was like, and the people behind it though, it's like they're known for their insane action.
Well, at least the one guy, and then like, so it's Timur Bekmambetov or whatever his last name is,
the guy who did Want It, whatever.
And also, I think he did like those. Those weird Russian vampire movies like Night Watch and Day Watch.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Okay. But yeah, Wanted is basically his like the movies the most known for. Then Tim Burton's producing it.
Right, yeah. So it's got that dark gloomy feeling, but it also has really random like slow-mo and particle action,
yeah.
I mean, it's cool cuz it's like guns were available during this time, but they were slow to reload, so they just gave Abraham Lincoln a giant axe to wield.
With, like, superhuman power.
Oh, man. He's like Thor.
Like, last scene of Trevor when he just, like, breaks that tree in half in one swing.
He explodes that tree in half. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it's great for people who are, like, following the development cycle for this to happen. It's like, yeah, finally! From, like, the book to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bet you they could be, like, naive, like, middle schoolers or dumb girls who are like, this didn't happen! Like,
oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, why are the vampires sparkling?
maybe like that. Like, if you were raised in the Twilight generation, then they see this kind of vampire. Old Victorian-style vampires, you know, that, like, have covenants and actually do things besides fall in love with humans.
They got stake to the heart or cut their head off.
Yep.
Crosses. Holy water, probably.
One of my fears, though, is it becomes a trend to put Vampire Hunter now on everything else. You know, it's like...
Well, we were talking before the show, like, I wouldn't mind a trend where it's just, like, random historical people getting into crazy situations.
Right.
Like... Like Teddy Roosevelt or Nikola Tesla or George Washington.
There hasn't been a Tesla movie. I mean, ever since Bowie was Tesla, I was like, yeah, maybe I'll spark some interest, and just that didn't go anywhere.
He was in what was that game? Dark Sector, I think.
Yeah, so that was the weird
Dark Void.
Dark Void. It was Nikola Tesla on an island for a Rocketeer.
Yeah,
like I
like it was like some alternate dimension.
And that game did not do the too well. So
no.
Again. Maybe give it a third shot.
So you're on board as well, Joe, right?
I am on board.
I'm ready for some vampire killing. with Honest Abe.
Yeah, boy.
Even though Honest Abe is played by a British guy.
Yeah. That's okay. We won the war. That's all that matters.
All of our American heroes are British.
Well, the first four, right, were from British colonies.
I guess. But just like, you know, like Superman, it's played by Henry Cavill, who's British. It's like Batman is Welsh.
Welsh.
Abraham Lincoln's like British now.
Spider-Man's British.
Yeah, it's just like, what is going on? We should have like American people playing like I don't know, who are some like Winston Churchill or something.
Yeah.
Oh, we did have Mike Myers, who's Canadian, play Winston Churchill. And and Inglourious Basterds.
He wasn't Winston Churchill, he was some random general.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh shit, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm confusing that scene.
Close enough. Any British person in a war in a movie is Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
He has a monocle.
And he spoke like Tim Curry.
So yeah, that is coming out, I think, this summer. I'm not sure when. I think it's like June, maybe. Let me just double check quick. Yep, June. So add another movie to the awesome stacked summer. This is going to be.
I can't wait to happen. Like I don't think that's the first official summer movie yet, so.
Well, it starts in May, so.
Yeah.
Like, I think The Avengers is, like, May 4th or something, so. But, moving on to other news, have either of you guys seen Legion? The Paul Bettany Angel?
Yeah.
So that's getting turned into a sci-fi show.
No.
Good.
Good.
Like, that movie, it was maybe interesting the first time to watch it, because it was like, okay, I'm just watching it because like just how weird it was.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I've seen this movie.
Well, it just turned to, like, generic, like, zombie movie or whatever.
Ish. The demon people kept making up their own powers as they went on.
Well, I would have, like, if they had, like, more, like, they, because they had, like, the two, they had the grandma and they had, like, the ice cream man. But then the rest of them were just, like, super generic, just, like, possessed people.
And then, well, like, that, I mean, are they making it based on the first movie or making it as a continuation of, like, protecting the baby of God?
I think it's just, like, sort of the concept for the movie. Where, like, the angel has to come protect the survivors of Earth or something.
I mean, it was a good concept, but then, like, the execution of it was sloppy, and then...
Yeah, because
it did become, like, a zombie movie.
Because they had, like, no budget. And it was, like,
right.
The January movie, so...
Was it?
Yeah, I think it came out, like, January. Like, it was, like... January, February, definitely.
I just... It was on TV, for, like, on Encore for, like, a solid month during the summer, and I was like, I can't watch this again. So, the fact that, I mean, I could see, I have to see, you know, it's a good concept to see, like, rogue demons possessing people, but then I'm like, we have Supernatural already, I don't watch it, mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like the first of its genre.
I don't know, they don't really say, like, what the show's gonna be about, if it's gonna be a continuation or not, but...
But the fact that it's based on the movie, I'm just like, oh.
It'll be like Highlander, the series.
I like The Raven. It was stupid, but I liked it.
So, other news from last week. Toy Fair was actually this, I think it's this past weekend, or it might be going on early this week, but talk about all the new toys that are coming out. And then one of them was that Mattel is going to be making a life-size replica of the Back to the Future 2 hoverboard.
I know, it's awesome, right?
Surely all the kids will rush out to buy one.
It's probably going to be on their like the collector site that they have, where like all the He-Man figures are right now, and the Ghostbusters figures, where it's like you pay like $100 a year and you get like access to the figures.
Wait, what?
They like Mattel has like this super high-end like collectible subscription thing that you can sign up for. And there's
like a season pass for toys.
Basically, yeah. Like they had like the Ghostbuster figures were on there, like the actual like movie like the ones based on the actors and everything were up there. They had like the like He-Man statues and He-Man figures on there. And they sell out in like an hour. You're like $60 a figure or something. I don't know, something crazy.
There's just some people in the world just money to blow.
Yeah. Well, hopefully these hoverboards will be more available than the shoes that Nike made. Where you'd like pay like $1,000 in auction to get them.
Oh man, I forgot about those for a bit.
That was like last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I remember the commercial was awesome.
Yeah. And then it was like, as soon as they put the auction, as soon as they started the auctions, it was like they got to like $9,900 or $1,000 or whatever, some crazy amount in like 10 minutes. So it's like, okay, no one's winning these. So other news: Michael Bay is signed on for Transformers 4, so the saga continues.
Man, I hope it picks up right after the third movie.
Which has, like, everyone is dead.
Or, you know, I want some fucking closure.
At least all the bad guys are dead. So
that's true. Every villain in that movie is dead or exploding. I don't...
So you have to, like, come up with, like, some new villains.
Well, it could be that planet that's a Transformer.
Unicron. Like, use the sound samples from Orson Welles from the original movie. Bring Hot Rod in.
Oh, God.
Who
was the voice of Hot Rod?
Judd Nelson.
Was it Judd Nelson? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's up. He's not working. So good.
Get Stan Bush to finally do some songs for the movie.
Get Styx back.
Styx?
Oh. Wasn't the lead singer Styx doing the original Transformer song?
No. It was like the Transformers cartoon movie had like really random like 80s hair metal bands like White Lion and Kick Axe. Nice. And like Instruments of Destruction. And Weird Al for some reason.
What do you mean Weird Al for some reason? Weird Al is the reason.
It was like the most random Weird Al song they even used though. It was like Dare to be Stupid.
Awesome song, man.
It is, I know, it's an awesome song. It's just like, okay. You could come up with like a robot song or something.
Dare to be stupid. I had to do it. I had to. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So, so I think they said it's going to be an all new cast for this movie.
Yeah.
So, like, no look.
That way you know it's good.
Yeah.
Promising start already, guys.
But, I mean, there wasn't room to Jason Statham. Could be Transformers.
No. It won't happen.
No. But and then they also said like,
all right, listen, you're not gonna make me a bloody robot.
I think he would be like the
Real Steel
human character.
Would he be a little boy? Would he be a college age young man?
Would he'd voice a kid?
I'm in secondary school. I am.
They would dub like the kid, like Jason Statham's voice.
Be amazing.
And then they also said that like probably the only returning Transformers would be Optimus Prime and Bumblebee.
And everyone else could fuck off.
Yeah. Like they're saying like
because nobody cares about the others.
I think it was either Michael Bay or like Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, who's like the producer. Like one of them said that it's gonna be like it's not a reboot, it's like an evolution.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I
guess it means just get rid of everything and besides two characters.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know.
I remember, like, in the early days of movies when things would have a sequel and there's, like, no connection between each movie besides the title.
Yeah.
It's like that again. Like, there's no connection between each movie except these two characters are now doing these instead of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? I mean, they've made, like, billions and billions of dollars, so of course they're making more Transformers movies.
What's the ceiling for them to hit to say, okay, let's take a break, or let's not?
Never. There is no ceiling, Chris.
They'll make too much money, and they'll say, all right, we made too much money.
What have we done?
I can't swim. I am drowning in the sea of money in my giant coin vault.
Okay, you know what? You know what? I figured it out. You know the only way I see the next Transformers movie? Nicholas fucking Cage.
Yes.
I said it. Someone had to say it.
I wonder if he gets in one. Does it become a Ghost Rider thing, too?
Yes.
Like that trailer where he takes over that drill, whatever that thing is.
Well, wasn't there, it was like the headmasters in like the original cartoon where like, it was like people and they became like, they got into like suits and they became like heads of robots or something.
I don't remember that one too well.
I think it might have been the comic actually. Like humans could like wear like special suit, like armor suits, and they could become like the heads of like powerful robot Transformers.
Why would the robots allow humans to be their face? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like that's so counterproductive.
I remember, like, and, like Spike became, like, the head of, like, some, I can't remember, like, Magnus Prime or something, I don't know.
God, Magnus Prime. Like, I didn't read the Transformer Wiki. I did read, though, like, a few articles from it just to, like, figure out that, like, how the generation thing works and figure out how there's different versions of Primes and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You can get lost in that for hours.
Yeah, that is a sinkhole of nerds.
Four hours could flash by, and you can get done reading just the 80 versions, and you're like, wait, there's another generation of Transformers?
G1, G2, Beast Wars. Just the Beast Wars of, like, how that fits into everything is, like, 4 hours of research.
I feel like I write a really nice thesis.
The history of Transformers. So, anyway, Transformers 4, on the horizon. Prepare yourselves. Then the last bit of news is that one half of the Crank team, Mark Taylor, is going to be directing a Twisted Metal movie for Sony. Which I kind of like.
Fuck yes.
But they kind of had like a weird obsession with like people with their heads on fire. Apparently, like End of Crank 2, Ghost Rider, now Sweet Tooth.
I didn't know that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Twisted Metal is not like a very deep story, so let them go nuts about the action and these zany characters.
Yeah, like Crankify, like Death Race.
Oh shit, Death Race, no.
Well, Death Race is more like Mario Kart. With like the weird, like, you run over this and you get a power up. I'm just wondering, like, who would be like the hero character of Twisted Metal, because they're all pretty horrible.
Yeah, that's what's cool about it, that there's no one that's truly like the good
person. Like, you can't have Sweet Tooth be like the main character. Because I don't think the studios would like let you have like a child killing clown murderer who drives the ice cream truck to be like the hero of your movie.
The main hero.
Yeah. even like an anti-hero. He's like not even an anti-hero. Just like psychotic murderer.
Well, there was like the cops that were corrupted. I remember that. So.
I think Black, like the cop, he wasn't like bad. He just like wanted to like go back and like change something horrible to happen to him.
He wanted to die instead of someone else or something.
Yeah, I think didn't he like accidentally murdered like a little girl or something. It was like a hostage situation. Then like Calypso lets him go back in time and like he gets shot in the face by a sniper.
I totally forgot. It's been a while.
Yeah, Blacklist is the only Twisted Metal game I've like played like ton of.
Well, that was number 4 in the series, right? Or
yeah, 3 or 4.
No, it was 4.
Yeah, because there's 1 through 3 on the PS1, then they had Black on 2.
I mean, it's good about Twisted Metal. They don't crank one out every year, so.
Yeah, well, new one just came out like 2 days ago.
Right, but that's like 10 years of development.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be.
Like, so we'll see. We'll see. It'll definitely have a cult following.
Yeah. I'm Sweet Tooth would probably be like the what was the guy from Bloodsport?
The hell was his name was?
Kong.
Yeah, or you'll be like the Ivan Drago or something of like the bad guy that is the ruler of the sport or whatever. That like whoever the main character is just like go fight at the end. Oh man, no, they should get Jason Statham to be Mr. Grimm, and that would be our main guy.
That'd be no. Nicolas Cage is Mr. Grimm.
Yes. Oh my god. He just goes in like these like insane like lunatic monologues about like Pierce, my friend. Oh, is he my friend? We were in the trench.
Yeah.
We were in Viet Cong prison camp together and I ate him. I had to eat his face off.
Only thing is he has to be Twisted Metal Black Mr. Grimm.
Yeah.
And his head can't be on fire.
Well, Mr. Grimm is just like,
but he has to be on a motorcycle.
He's not on fire.
Well, I'm just saying his head can't be on fire.
Yeah.
I didn't say his head is on fire, but it certainly can't be.
Mm-hmm. Who'd play Sweet Tooth?
Which version? Because I remember, like, in Twisted Metal Black, he got jacked.
Carrot Top.
Yes. he's got to gain a little weight, and he'll be great for fucking Sweet Tooth.
Yeah. Like Danny Bonaducci or something.
I remember like Sweet Tooth, the first one, he was like a fat clown, and then he just started lifting weights and like juicing up.
He got arrested and started juicing in prison. And then he just like, they got like the crazy, like, he lured kids into his ice cream truck and murdered them.
After
then he became possessed by a demon and stuff that wouldn't let him die.
And he's oh god, what the hell is his name? The taxi driver. Yellow Jacket. He's Yellow Jacket's son. I'm not kidding. No, that's in the first Twisted Metal, dude. I've played them all.
Then the preacher is like the one who like turns Sweet Tooth into a demon or something.
Yes, the preacher's kind of new to the series, but in the first Twisted Metal, the very first one, dude, when you play through as a Yellow Jacket, it's revealed, because he just wants to find out who his son is.
Yeah.
And it's revealed that it's Sweet Tooth, and he just killed him in the last battle.
No!
That's cool about Twisted Metal, is that no one gets a happy ending.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
So it's like Twilight Zone, like, twists of, like, be careful what you wish for, because he will murder you. Oh, man. So
the only person who gets a kind of okay ending is what's his face, like Crimson Ghost or like Johnny Crimson. He's like a secret agent in the first one, and he's basically like a Ferrari.
Yeah,
I forget his name. It's been so long since I played the first Twisted Metal, so I have no idea.
God,
I'll just call him Crimson.
Everyone was so fucked up in Black. Like,
yeah, a little too much. I think it was like a fucking like Depeche Mode soundtrack to like a Tim Burton movie. It was just like trying too hard.
Man, that sounds like an emo wet dream.
Yeah, basically.
Oh man, I still have some another awesome casting. Axel, Terry Crews.
Yeah.
And he's like, basically it was like him from like the
Old Spice commercials. Man, I forgot, like, the
power.
The fact that it was, like, a screaming black man in a vehicle. I was like, this was his ride?
I know. The black man is, like, the act. He's a living car.
Yeah, she's like,
how's that thing drive?
He just screams and it moved. I'm just like, game designers, like, were kind of racist back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how Taylor's going to do without Neville Dean, but like those guys are always crazy, so I'm sure this movie's going to be at least crazy, like insane. Like even Gamer is like, it's like insane and kind of entertaining.
Gamer was sort of different, you know, out of the whole year, but it did make up for, what, the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
God.
Out of that Gerard Butler like rom-com phase he was going through.
Then Law Abiding Citizen made up for rom-com. Gamer.
That's true, see?
So, that's it for news, unless there's anything else you guys wanted to talk about or you saw. Oh, right. So,
yeah.
So, New Year's roundup for the week. Definitely way better than last week, which was basically nothing. But, and we actually have a pick of the week this week, which is Beavis and Butthead Volume 4.
Yes.
All the recent episodes from MTV.
Yes.
I think with the music videos and all the other stuff intact.
Wow.
So you can watch them make fun of, like, Skrillex and stuff.
Good.
And all those episodes were amazing, so definitely, if you're Beavis and Butthead fan, I would definitely say get that.
Yeah, those are some good-ass episodes.
I
was surprised.
Yeah. It was like they never left, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's picked right back up.
Hmm.
Also this weekend, we have The Rum Diary, which no one cared about.
That's sad.
I kind of want to see it. Doesn't mean it's good. Let me say this. It doesn't mean it's good. But I kind of want to see it.
I think it was like the weakest Johnny Depp movie ever. In terms of like money.
Well, it's gonna be a cult following. It's probably gonna be having a cult following like a few years from now.
I don't think anyone really cares about having a cult following.
That's true.
Like there's not even like any like vocal a few vocal people about it. It's just like everyone's just like meh.
Well, if you read the book, then you would get this. It's one of those things where if you're a fan of Thomas Thompson's novels, then you're probably like 40 something.
Well, they're definitely trying to make this like a new Fear and Loathing, and just like no one cared because it's so like mediocre.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Well, because the marketing was very weird.
Yeah,
it's like Johnny Depp, Puerto Rico, rum. Watch it.
At first, not that weird.
Oh, it's not as like drug influenced as.
Yeah, it's only like weird. Like there's like one or two scenes where it's like that, but. We also have Elite Squad, which is a Brazilian sort of action thriller series that's really popular with people. Won a bunch of awards. It's about like a Brazilian police SWAT team.
Cool.
Isn't Rio de Janeiro always like under threat of like local terrorists?
You know,
constantly.
Those goddamn favelas. There's always like people driving Hummers through them or getting
abducted.
Like running through the roofs, running across the roofs of them. We have on Blu-ray, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Man, World War II classic.
Yep.
Is that the one with Bob Hope in it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no. John Ray and Ben Alexander.
Close, though.
Yeah. something I know me and Chris were talking about before the show. I can't even believe this blows my mind. This movie's on Blu-ray, but
does it bottle your mind?
It does. It blows and bottles it. It blows it up, and then like all the remainder is bottled up into a bottle.
Puts it in a bottle.
Yeah. The Perfect Weapon, starring international Kenpo sensation Jeff Speakman.
Yes.
You're aware of this?
You know this movie, Joe?
The Speakeasy. That's what we call him in the hood.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where like the whole thing is on YouTube and apparently no one cares. But now it's on Blu-ray, so I don't even know how that happened. But I definitely gonna watch it on YouTube this weekend or sometime this week. Because if you've seen the trailer is just like amazing.
Nice.
The trailer is just an homage to like early '90s
snuff porn,
kung fu. Oh. Yeah, it's equivalent because always like Asian, it's like white man versus a Asian community. The movie.
Oh boy!
It is like every '90s that guy you could possibly think of is in this movie.
Let me give you an example.
Is Snyder from Three Ninjas in it?
No, but his bodyguard is the fucking like Mr.
What?
Tanaka.
Mako.
Really?
Mako's in this movie.
James Hong. Rufio.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's an Asian community diversity meeting going on. Man,
yo, guys, maybe we should live blog this movie if it's on YouTube.
Oh, math. I think
we can do a commentary track then.
We could, I guess.
Yeah.
I just let it buffer, so it wouldn't like crap out of me. But
yeah, same here.
All right, we'll talk about that after the show.
Yes.
Stay tuned to the Twitter and Facebook page. Also this week we have Human Centipede 2 full sequence. Everyone hated it, apparently.
Yep.
Apparently this guy masturbated with sandpaper at one point, so...
That's in the beginning of the movie.
Fuck, someone else does that? Damn it, now I need to find another shock value thing for first dates.
Hey,
baby, why don't you come into my tool shed real quick? I want to show you something.
Yeah. I heard it's also, like, weird, like, meta, because it's, like, a guy who watched the first movie is now wants to, like, imitate the movie in Human Centipede 2, the movie.
God damn it. It's a movie inside of a movie wrapped inside of another movie.
Yeah. The movie exists inside this movie. Also, we have The Dead, the international zombie sensation.
No.
The first, also the first horror movie shot completely in Africa.
Oh boy. Yeah, if that doesn't scare you.
African zombies will.
Yeah, seriously. If the sheer horrors of the African landscape doesn't scare you, perhaps the premise of the movie will.
Where's Chris Redfield and Sheva when we need them?
Yeah.
Soros line.
We also have Family Matters Season 2 is on Blu-ray.
Finally.
DVD this week.
Oh, wow.
I wish it was on Blu-ray.
That was before Urkel took over, right?
I think he took over pretty quickly, like, within, like, the first season. I'm sure, I think that might have been, like, season 2 might have been the first season where they had, like, him in the credits. we have Dragon Age Redemption, which is a live-action tie-in to Dragon Age, starring Felicia Day.
Good.
And
I thought that was just, a weird fan-made thing. That's actually, like,
it's a commercial, yeah, EA tie-in thing.
And EA, they'll milk anything.
They didn't do Assassin's Creed. I was going to say, because, like, pretty much, like...
No, Assassin's Creed does have its own movie.
No, but that was, like, Ubisoft. I'm saying, like, EA, like, Dead Space, they've done, like, the two... They've done, like, so many tie-in stuff to that.
Oh, what was the first movie called, like... I forgot what it was called, but then the other one they called it was Aftermath. That's the new...
Yeah.
Lineage?
No, Dead Space. Dead Space had a prequel to the game, a cartoon. That was okay. And then they had an aftermath of the first game before the second game.
And they had, like, two novels and, like, two comic series, I think, too.
Good.
It's crazy. So, yeah, that's your releases this week.
Splendid.
Stay tuned. Keep your ear to the ground for our... possible impromptu Perfect Weapon live blog.
Yes.
Which, everythingaction.com definitely will be your source for that. And also your source for, news, reviews, features, trailers.
80s tits.
No, we're safe for work, Joe.
Damn.
For now. That's gonna be your Tumblr or your other blog that you do.
Oh.
But, yeah, review of Safe House is up. Review of Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie by Brian is up on the site.
No, you wrote it.
And then stay tuned. I think next week on the site is going to be the Kick-Ass Awards 2012 or 2011.
Bring your tuxes, boys.
Yeah. If you're as sick of the Oscars as we are, I mean, we're the only awards are going to reward, like, best Jason Statham movie, most over-the-top movie, ass kicker of the year. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. It's going to be a massive post next week on the site. And,
bitches.
And then a whole bunch of other stuff on the site as well. So definitely come check out everything.com for all the stuff we got in there. We're also on Twitter. Twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account for our site. You can see stuff from the sites that goes up on there. You can see stuff we retweet, usually funny stuff or news stories. Commentary from us. Woody banter from us.
Woody banter.
Yeah.
Bully.
And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is the Facebook page. You can like us on there. You can leave comments. You can see news stories that we find from the web. Put them on there. Crazy pictures like Jean-Claude Van Damme looking like a porn star is on there. And stuff on the site goes up on there as well, so you can follow it on there. And we're also on iTunes if you want to go to the iTunes Music Store. Search Everything Action. You can share the podcast, rate us, leave comments. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It gives you the last 20 news stories from the site. You can listen to the podcast in there. You can,
There's a whole bunch of shit you can do. Just get it. It's free.
Yeah, it's free. So there's no reason not to get it. And
we will find you.
Contact everythingnational.com is the email address. So send us stuff.
Hit us up, bitches.
So, for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.